Happy New Year. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I know it's hard to believe, but some of you I will not see until next year. We're a lively bunch this morning. Settle down. Here we go. I want to read to you a verse out of Ecclesiastes 12. This is going to be our theme for the coming year at Sheridan Christian Church. And this is what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. It says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil." Well, God, we love you, and we know, God, that we are given a new year. And some of us do something with it, some of us don't. No right or wrong in that. But sometimes, Lord, when we turn over into a new year, put that extra number on, a new number on that 2024, that maybe it does mean something. Maybe it does mean an opportunity to set a new goal, a resolve to do something different in regard to our relationship with you. And so, God, I ask that you help us to fear you and follow your commandments this coming year. Not only just the coming year, but every day of the coming year. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, and we want to give you glory and praise today. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Hey, good morning. As we're entering this new year, I thought we should do so with some praise. And so we're going to sing, "I Will Enter His Gates." And as I look at it, we're entering a new year. So as we enter our new year, we will enter our new year with praise. And then there's a line that we'll sing in both the first and second song about "This is the day." And an interesting meaning for "This is the day" is as long as that you have breath, you can make the decision to be saved. So this is the day that you can make that decision to be saved by Christ, which matters tons. So let's stand as we sing, "I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart."
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, 'This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad."
And I happen to know this next song, Stephanie Blaine really likes, or she really likes the verse, but words to it. So, "This is the day."
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Be seated as we go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you for everything new. You will make a new heaven and a new earth, and you will give us a new body and a new spirit when we come to you at the end of our earthly life. Dear Father God, we do pray a little solemnity this morning for those that don't know you. And as Hugh and I were talking earlier, Father, it's really upsetting when church leadership doesn't take your word seriously. So, Father, we pray for our church leaders, in not only in this church, but in churches across the land that say they profess you. But may they take to consideration what your word says about immersion, about communion, and about following your commands in our morality. So, Father, as we enter this new year, we with no doubt know that it won't always be roses. There's probably going to be some thorns. There's probably going to be some sadness. But there's also going to be extreme joy. And, Father, if we take you and we read your word and we take you in every day, we can have the joy that is everlasting, the joy that is incomprehensible. So, Father, we do love you. We lean on you. We need you. And we praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Speaking of prayer, we're going to do one of the songs that we did most first Sundays in 2023, but did you think to pray? So there's every kind of reason to think to pray in this one, so maybe we can do that in 2024. From Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I want to put a little plug in for the new year to grab some sort of a Bible reading plan, whether it be on a phone or an app or on a piece of paper or, as Jeff likes to use, Big Chief notebooks. But anything will do, but just read his word every day. You can surely find how the Lord thinks and feels and leads us if you read his word every day.
Before him.
be standing as the men come forward.
Take time to be holy, be calm in thy slumber. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Us led by his spirit to fountains of love. Thou shalt be fitted for service above.
You may be seated.
Morning. I had a grandchild that sent me something the other day and gave me a very different perspective in how to see certain aspect of our relationship with Christ. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it for you.
Out of the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. The pastor came up.
Can you hear that?
And he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here, and I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much, but I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you got to do it, you got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. One good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot, and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now, you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage emergency for you. And Anchorage emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice. Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. Do you realize your head is full of voices? And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and he said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. They knock at my door. And I open the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
This video right here.
I don't know about you, but I listen to God. I don't always hear him. I'm too busy. I'm not in the mood. Bigger things to deal with than hear what he's saying. Like I said, my 14-year-old granddaughter sent that to me the other day. In a moment, at the moment when I received that, I was in a bad place. I listen to this and I bawl. Because all I can see when I was listening to this was me. Me not hearing, just listening. And I know it's something different for everybody. But for me, it really changed my perspective on my relationship with the Lord. It really woke me up. Will you pray with me? Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done for us, everything you give us. Just help us all to hear you, not just listen. Heed what you say. Be open to it. And so we can all stand before you one day and be told, I know you. Amen.
We know you can do much with little. We ask that praise you and further your kingdom. In your son's name.
Well, good morning. That's cranking. We're hot. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. I wonder, how are you thinking towards the new year? Do you make resolutions? I've resolved not to make resolutions. That's what I've done. You know why? Can't keep them. That's right. Hey, if you got your Bibles, go with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you want to go there with me. We're going to be talking about the last two verses of Ecclesiastes, which is going to be happen to be our theme for the year. I looked up some things about resolutions and resolve this time for this sermon time, and some people make resolutions for the new year. I used to at some point or another, and some people do, some people don't. But I want to talk to you about a couple of concepts, and these are kind of some funny things that I found on the web, and see if you agree with it or not. Someone once asked this question: what exactly is a New Year's resolution? And the reply was this: a to-do list for the first week of January. You could probably relate to that, right? Another one person said this: since it's tradition to break my New Year's resolutions, this year I'm going to try for being fat and lazy and see what happens. Here are some realistic resolutions for the new year. I think this is a good one. I will start washing my hands after I use the bathroom. If that describes you, please do. A second one: I will stop drinking orange juice after I've brushed my teeth. Okay. There's another one: I will only eat white snow. Good one. I will watch more kitten videos on YouTube. And Vern can relate to that. There's a good one I thought as well: I will resolve to stop buttering my donuts. Boy, I don't know if I'm doing that one. I will lose weight by hiding it somewhere you'll never find it. Here's a good one: I will pay off my credit cards every month in full with my other credit cards. Embracing 2024 with a resolution to exercise more, I resolve to lift the TV remote more often. My New Year's resolution is to lose weight by ordering a smaller pizza. Can you relate to any of those? Kids make resolutions too. Here's some kids' resolutions I thought was pretty good. Harper, she's age 5 out of Argyle, Texas. She said this: I want to eat more candy and tacos and ice skate. That's a good resolution, I think. Here's Tori. She's 8 years old out of Okemos, Michigan. She says, I want to pet every doggy I can. Owen, who's 4 years old from Washington, D.C., he says, I want to become an adult so I can eat candy and not brush my teeth. Sabrina said this. She's from Urda, Utah. She's 8 years old. She says, I want to play with Legos more often. And finally, I like this one. This guy, his name is Milo. He's from Denver, Colorado. He's 15. He says, I want to be a better me. I wonder if you can relate to that. You want to be a better you. Let's talk about some cold, hard facts when it comes to resolutions. 38.5% of U.S. adults set New Year's resolutions every year. 59% of young adults, that's between the ages of 18 and 34, have New Year's resolutions, which makes them the biggest demographic for having resolutions. That's 59% of 18 to 34-year-olds. 48% of people that make resolutions want to exercise more, which makes it the most popular resolution. The top three resolutions deal with health. 23% of all people who make resolutions quit in the first week, and only 36% make it past the first month. When it comes to resolutions, only 9% actually keep their resolution throughout the year. And I don't know if any of these people in here are bikers, but there's a biking app out there, and it's called Strava. And Strava said this: they learned that by the second Friday of the month, people have quit the resolutions, of which they officially call the second Friday of January Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day. And as I thought about why people quit resolutions, what came to mind and what I actually found was this, is that resolutions come at the wrong time. The reason they come at the wrong time because people aren't ready to commit fully to a resolution. And so how well can you relate to a person who says, I want to commit to doing something, but you're not committed fully to it? Have you been there before? I've been there before. A time or two, no doubt about it. And so this coming year, I want to encourage you to do something because I want to encourage you to contemplate with me how we can encourage one another about how God would have us resolve to do something for Him this coming year. As a church body, as an individual, how God would have us resolve to do something for Him this coming year. And I know this is true, that to contemplate what God has something for us to do, God does. He does. He has everybody in this room, God has something for you to do. And as I think about that with you, God has a purpose. He has a purpose and a task, okay? Jess, we on the, there we go. Can you go to the second screen there, Jess? God has a purpose and a task for you to do in your relationship with Him. That's how He's going to work it. He has a purpose and a task for you to do in your relationship with Him. And when it comes to our relationship with Him, next screen there, Jess, our relationship with God is not based on doing as much as it is being, as much as it is being, okay? And so I just want to encourage you to think about that God has an idea for you to do something for Him, but it's more about being than doing. And what's the proof of that, okay? Jess, I'm going to have to give you a cue every time. My phone's not working. And so as I think about the verse in Acts 17:28, let's look at this one together, okay? For in Him we live and move and exist. And what's that last line say? Or have our being. So this verse tells us that in God we live and move and exist and we have our being. And so our entire existence depends on who? It depends on God, okay? And so when you think about resolution, the definition of resolution is a firm decision to do or not do something. That's what resolution means. And the root word of resolution is what? It's resolve. That's the root word of resolution. It's resolve, okay? And so to resolve means you have a faithfulness to complete something or a task. You have tenacity to do it. You have steadfastness to do it. You have doggedness to do it. And I'm thinking, how many of us are thinking steadfastness this morning? It can be challenging for us on a Sunday morning, 9 a.m., to think about that. But you know what? You're here. And that tells me a lot about you, is that you want to be steadfast in worshiping the Lord. And I appreciate knowing that about you. And so since all of our existence is where? In God. Does that mean I have something to do for the new year or something to do every day? It's daily. So as I contemplate the realities of going to the new year, Jesus admonished us to do something. And when he did, he shared with us some ideas, okay? So I want to share with you something that you, as far as orientation. Jesus said this when it came to Lot's wife. He said, remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. Now, if you look at Lot's wife, what happened to her? Turned into a pillar of salt. What's going on behind her? Sodom and Gomorrah is burning, correct, with sulfur, okay? And where is she supposed to be going? Away, right. She's going, supposed to be going towards life, okay? I got out to work just now. Thank you. Appreciate it. And so how come she turned into a pillar of salt? She looked back. So she was walking in one direction to save her life, but she looked behind her, and what happened to her life? She lost her life. And so as I contemplate that with you, what does that mean? Well, think about this. How fast, how well does a pillar of salt move? It doesn't move very well, okay? And so when your orientation, this is a word I'm going to use quite a bit today, when your orientation is bent on you, okay, it will always be on your past. How come she would choose to look behind her? I don't know. But who is she thinking of when she's looking behind her? She's looking at herself. And so I want to say this with you. Whenever your orientation is towards you, it will always be in your past, and you're going to be stuck steadfast like a pillar of salt. And so Lot's wife was supposed to be saving her life, but instead she looked behind her and lost her life. So her orientation was where? Behind her. And so as you and I contemplate this together, here's what I want you to think about. There is an orientation that can help you stay motivated in doing those things that God would have you do. And there's two separate things in my mind, orientation and motivation. And Paul, when he's writing to the Philippian church, he says this, okay, when it comes to becoming oriented in the right direction. Paul says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what? Lies behind and reaching forward to what? Lies ahead. And say the last part with me. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul's talking to the Philippian church. He says, look, guys, you have a goal in mind. And what's the goal? What's it say right there? Okay? So as you think about this, comparing what we just read there in Lot's wife, when Lot's wife was running for her life, what would have happened if she'd forgotten what was behind her? What would have happened if she'd forgotten what was behind her? She would have lived. She'd absolutely lived, okay? She would not turn into a pillar of salt. And so think about this. When you contemplate the idea of a resolution or a goal, and bear no mistake about this, our resolution is to draw a closer relationship with God. That's our goal. And so as you think about an orientation, if I'm moving towards God, but I'm looking constantly behind me, what am I doing? I have the wrong orientation. And it's not going to work in my relationship with the Lord. And so this means that you and I must stay motivated to move forward with the orientation the same way. And how do we do that? Well, what's the verse say? I press on towards the goal for the prize of God, the upward call of God, in who? In Christ Jesus. And so our resolve is to strive for the prize, the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, question today, are you in Christ Jesus? So what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, Romans 6 tells us, and you can go home and read about it, that when you're baptized, you're immersed underwater into who? And so when you're into Christ, you're already on that journey that God would have you be in a better relationship with Him as you progress forward into that new year, okay? And so there was a preacher a number of years ago, and he wrote a book in the Bible, and his parents were David and Bathsheba. Any idea who this preacher was? Solomon. That's exactly right. King Solomon. King Solomon's his name. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is not an easy book to read. It's not an easy book to read. Matter of fact, as you read through Ecclesiastes, which I recommend doing, it doesn't take long to read it. If you read through Ecclesiastes, you're going to find out a lot of cold, hard facts that the preacher, King Solomon, points out. And the biggest thing he points out is what? Does anybody remember? Everything is meaningless. Doesn't that sound encouraging? I mean, if you find yourself reading Ecclesiastes and you're in a down moment in life, it's going to be tough for you. But throughout that book, he tells us that everything is meaningless, vanity, seems to be an absolute waste of time. You say, man, why would I want to read that book? And why is that book in the Bible? It's profound if you read that book and take some time to read it. And I believe he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it. The Bible tells us that all the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he wrote it down because he's trying to share with us this reality, that if you're chasing anything in life other than God, it's what? It's meaningless. It's a waste of time, okay? And so I want you to see if you can hear the orientation of King Solomon's motivation in the last two verses of this book. So if you've got your Bible, look in that Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 13, okay? This is what the Bible says, and it's going to be on the screen. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. And so he's trying to convey to the reader that there must be an orientation of motivation beyond yourself, not in you. There must be that. I heard this joke, and it says this, why should you stand, and when you have the countdown, why should you stand on your left foot when it hits midnight tonight? So you step into the new year on the right foot. Folks, your new year has nothing to do with your feet, but has everything to do with who you're resolving to get closer to. And as I think about that with you, this is going to be the first point of our sermon time in your bulletin insert. Here's what I want to share with you. The fear of God orients me to God, not me. The fear of God orients me to God, not me. If you look at this quick little pie graph up there, you're going to see something. And that there's a percentage up there. I probably can't see a lot of it from where you're sitting, but I want to share with you the biggest percentage up there, the reason people fail to keep New Year's resolutions is because they lose motivation. 35% of people lose motivation. 28% says they have other reasons. 19% say they're too busy. And 18% experience a shift in goals and priorities. And I'm thinking about if you've made resolutions in the past, can you relate to that pie graph right there? Because I can for sure. And so, but I think of Milo. Remember what Milo said, the kid from Denver, Colorado, 15-year-old kid. Great, great thing as a 15-year-old kid to think about. I want to be a better me in the new year. So let's transpose that to our thought process as we're in church today, okay? Would you like to have a better relationship with God? Yes or no?
Yes.
I do, okay? Would you like to have a fruitful relationship with God?
Yes.
I would. From this day forward, if I can be told something today through the message time, I'd like to have a better relationship with God and more fruit with God. Okay? So how does that happen? How do we quit quitting? How do we quit quitting our resolve to have a better relationship with God? Well, you may recall that one of our sermons we had when we were talking about the fear of God from the first Christmas to this Christmas, we really honed in on Isaiah 11. Okay? And Isaiah 11 is a messianic prophecy, and so it's a messianic prophecy. Who's that about? It's about Jesus, okay? Now, I'm going to read this, okay, and you read the last verse part of that with me, okay? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And so as I think about the resolve of Jesus Christ, this happened 600 to 700 years before Christ is even born on the earth. And it's like, how can anything good come from a stump? Well, Jesus came from that stump, the Bible says here. In fact, he was a descendant of Jesse, and he chose to bear fruit. Well, how did Jesus resolve himself to bear fruit on the cross that he bore for you and I? How did he do it? Do you see it? What did Jesus do? What did he do? He delighted in the fear of the Lord. And because he delighted in the fear of the Lord, he resolved himself to do what? Follow the Lord, and which ended him where? On the cross. And so Jesus is our example so you and I can bear fruit for our God and Father, to delight in the fear of the Lord. So he shows us what it's like to be a fruitful person in the eyes of God. Quick question, kids. Here it is. Does God desire each one of you to bear fruit for him this coming year?
Yes.
He sure does. He absolutely does. He wants you to bear fruit for him this coming year. I just said to you that Jesus bore the best fruit ever by dying on the cross for forgiveness of our sin. So if you want to bear fruit in your relationship with God this year, where do you have to go? You have to what? You have to delight in the fear of the Lord. That's what it means. You have to delight in the fear of the Lord. So if you want to have a fruitful relationship with God this year, you're going to have to delight in the fruit of the Lord. This means that if you want fruitful outcomes in your relationship with God, you have to have an orientation towards God by fearing God. That's what that means. You have an orientation towards God by fearing God. So think about this. If you find yourself as you're moving into this new year, if you're afraid of failing, then who is your focus? Yourself. However, if you go into this new year and you're afraid of God, then who is your focus? It's God. You see the difference? Who's a better person to focus on? The Lord is. Okay? So this verse is going to be our resolve this coming year. You put it in the bulletin, and you can also find in your bulletin a way you can even cut it out if you want to. You can even cut it out and you can put this on a mirror, car, whatever, to try to memorize that this coming year. But as we choose to develop a biblical fear of God, our focus will be on God, not failing. That's the whole plan, okay? And so as we delight, think about this, as we delight in the fear of the Lord, our focus will be on the Lord, not failing. As we delight in the fear of the Lord, our focus will be on the Lord, not people. And so here's what we must have going into this new year, okay? I must have a fear of God to focus on God, not me. I must have a fear of God to focus on God, not me. That's what I must do. Second point in our sermon time today is this. A fear of God's judgment motivates me to follow God's commands. A fear of God's judgment motivates me to follow God's commands. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my grandmother, I'd go to her house and she'd let me stay up a little bit. And I couldn't stay up as late as she could, but she'd always watch Johnny Carson. Remember Johnny Carson? And then after Johnny Carson, who took over for him? Remember? Jay Leno, wasn't it? Didn't Jay Leno take over? Jay Leno said this about New Year's resolutions. Listen, he said this about New Year's resolutions. He said, there are more overweight people in America than average weight people. So overweight people are now average, which means you've met your New Year's resolution. Isn't that great? You're already done. And so have you noticed this? It's easy to compare yourself to others to see how you are doing. Have you noticed that? It's easy to compare yourself to see how you are doing, whether it's weight, money, food, or whatever. It's easy to compare yourself to evaluate how you're doing. Do you think we do that as people? I think we do. Think about this. How often have you tried to compare people following God's word to how you're following God's word? You say, what do you mean? Well, think about this. How are the people around you doing and being obedient to God's word? Oh, they're doing terrible, doing bad. And so then if they're doing bad and terrible, then what are you? Oh, I'm not doing bad at all. I'm doing pretty good. But we're not called to compare ourselves to other people, okay? If you look at other people and how they are doing and being obedient to God, then what are you able to say about yourself? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I can remember one time years ago, my wife and I got in a fight. Before I was a Christian, we got in a fight, and I don't know what we was fighting about. It didn't matter. And I said this, well, at least I'm not going to the bar. I was comparing myself to somebody else, but I'm still doing sinful things in my home. I like it when one guy said about the Times Square. Has anybody ever watched the ball drop in Times Square? Anybody watch that ball? Okay, there's a ball that drops in Times Square. And the guy says this. He says, I love it when they drop the ball in Times Square. It's a nice reminder of what I did all year. Have you dropped the ball this year? Are you going to drop the ball this coming year? Yep, you are. You're going to drop the ball? I'm going to drop the ball. And so when it comes to the judgment of God, will he compare how many times you've dropped the ball with somebody else? Or will God simply judge you? He's going to judge you. He's not going to compare you to anybody else. He's going to take what you've done or haven't done. He's going to judge you for it, okay? Again, I want you to look at this verse on the screen, okay? Let's read this together. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is a duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed in the judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. And so as I look at that context with you, you start to see a motivation there. Do you see the motivation? I've already described you in orientation, all right? Our orientation is towards God, okay? And our motivation is now to keep his commands. I like what someone said about this. An optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year end. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. And so you can be optimistic all you want about getting rid of your sin, but it's not going to happen unless what? You confess it and repent of sin and turn to God. That's what it means, be oriented towards God. I said this last night with a group of friends, and I think it's still true now. The older I get, 8 p.m. is the new midnight. 8 p.m. is the new midnight. And so the older I get, the more I think that's true, but I also know this is true. It's the same with your sinful, disobedient behaviors towards God. Don't wait until the new year is gone. When should you get rid of them? Now. Don't wait. Now. Do it now. And so the Bible says this in Hebrews 4:13. Let's read this together. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So who do we have to give an account to? The Lord. You got to give an account to the Lord, okay? And so the fear of God orients you to God, and your motivation to follow God is the knowledge that God will judge you, and he's going to uncover how many things in your life? Every single thing he's going to uncover. Everything you've ever done or not done, he's going to uncover it, and he's going to judge you for it. And so the Bible tells us this. And I like what Brad Paisley said. Brad Paisley said this, tomorrow, meaning the New Year's Day, tomorrow is the first blank page of a 365-page book. Write a good one. You do get to start tomorrow, the new year, with a blank page. And so how's your book going to read this year? Will you carry over pages from years past, like Lot's wife? You're looking to the past and carrying that over into the new year. How would you like to go into everyday life? Would you like to get up in everyday life, the fresh, clean sheet, nothing on it? Would you like that? I would. Free of past sin, free of past issues that you're trying to blot out, no regrets. And so as I contemplate that with you, sometimes sin does something. It's in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. That's what it says. Take care, brethren, that you are not being it. That there not be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called what? Today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of what? Sin. You see, sin tells you that you always got what? Tomorrow. Sin tells you always got tomorrow. Sin says you can always repent tomorrow. You can always give up something tomorrow. But the Lord says what? Do it when? Today. And so I want you to consider this. If you're not thinking daily about the fear of God and His pending judgment of you, if you're not thinking daily about the fear of God and His pending judgment of you, then your heart, working together with sin, has likely deceived you. That's what's happened. And so if today, if there's still time, we should turn away from the deceit of sin hardening your heart. And that's why it's so important for you and I to have that concept. I must have a fear of God to focus on God, not me, to follow God's commands. I must have that. And so as we choose to develop a biblical fear of God, our orientation will be on God, okay? And as we delight in the fear of the Lord, our orientation will be on the Lord, not people. Wouldn't you like to wake up any given day and not be concerned about what people think about you? Well, why not start orientating your mind towards the Lord by having a fear of the Lord, okay? And think about this. Our orientation on God will be our motive to follow God. Isn't there things that you're doing right now and you're like, I'm tired of doing it. I'm just so sick of doing what I'm doing. Don't we all have that? Then shouldn't the motivation be towards the Lord? And as we focus on the fear of the Lord, guess what our motivation will do? You'll start having the motivation to get past those things that you've never got past before because you're now contemplating on God and the fear of God. That's what's going to happen if you can do that. And so once again, I must have a fear of God to focus on God, not me, to follow God's commands. I got to share with you a story that's kind of challenging, a little bit amusing. I can't remember how long it was, but it's another bow hunting story. So if those don't like bow hunting, you can go ahead and go to sleep at this point if you want. But I was bow hunting, and I had a deer come in front of me, and I shot that deer with my new bow, right? Got the bow put back together. I shot that deer, and that deer took off. Like, man, this is going to be great. It's a great shot, and won't have any problems whatsoever. And so there's a first mistake, right? And so I shot that deer and took off the brush. I waited till dark, and I got down from the dark, and I could see where the deer went. And so I went towards where the deer went because I went to the initial spot, couldn't find my arrow or anything. Typically, when you shoot a deer with a bow and arrow, the arrow goes plumb right through it. The deer kept my arrow and went on. And so I saw where it went, so I went in that direction. I found some blood. I started tracking blood, and I started hunting around, and I find a little spot here, a little spot, big spot there, and I keep finding around. I go underneath places, and I crawl, and I was crawling underneath logs and through the brush and trying to sneak around. And then as I was kept on sneaking, I thought, man, this blood trail is getting less and less and less. I mean, I find a little bit here and a little bit here, and finally it just ended. And I thought, how is this possible? I shot that deer, and now there's no blood whatsoever. And I had my headlamp on. I looked up my headlamp, and there's my tree stand right there. I made a complete circle and tracked that deer right back to my deer stand. I never found that deer. It got away from me. And so I say that to you because I wonder, do you ever get tired of being back in the same spot every time? Do you ever get that way? I'm tired of being in the same spot every time. And the Bible says that sin literally means missing the mark. And I don't know how I missed the mark in that deer, but apparently I missed the mark enough that deer got away. I hope it lived, that it got away from me and lived fine. But I know this, that I missed the mark on that deer, and I wound up exactly where I started. I just shared with you two things to help you get away from where you are. The first thing is what? Fear God. That orients me to God. And then because it orients me to God, I begin to focus on God. And then I'm motivated now to follow God because I know if I don't follow God, what's going to happen? I'm going to be lost. And I'm going to be judged. And so I can't think of a better thing to do, and maybe this describes you today, I can't think of a better thing to do than to repent of sin, turn to Jesus, seek His forgiveness, and if you haven't been immersed, then what should you do? You should be immersed into Christ, because that way you're in Jesus. Jess, can you go to Take Time to Be Holy? I think it's the second one. And Deb, let's play that song if you don't mind for our time today. Take time to be holy. So, as I sang this song with you today, there's some things that really stuck out in my mind. I'm going to put this one right here. Take time to be holy, the world what? How much time does the world want you to spend with Jesus? None. The world wants you to spend no time with Jesus, and you're going to miss the mark if that's true of you. You have to resolve yourself to spend more time with Jesus. And again, the orientation of that is by fearing God. Spend much time a secret in Jesus alone, okay? The next one I saw is this. Let him be your guide. Any idea how many TikTok views or happens every day in the world? Not by you? Billions. Billions. Guess who a majority of people are letting them guide them? It's not TikTok. It could be anything. But if we resolve ourselves to let the Lord guide us, what could happen? And so if you have a fear of God, who's going to be your guide? The Lord is, okay? And so as we sing through this song, you're going to see lots of things in this song that really relate to the new year and what you can do in the new year as you fear God. That's your orientation. And as you fear God, you become motivated because you know God can judge you. And this song really, I found, as I was singing it with you today, wow, this is really spot on. Hey, let's stand together. I want to pray with you as we sing this song. God, we love you and give you praise for being kind. You're good to us, Father, in ways we can't possibly imagine. And Jesus, there are just some things that are really challenging for all of us. And I just wonder, Lord, if the challenge can be taken from us if we just simply develop a fear of you. And as we fear you, God, it motivates us. It motivates us to follow your commands. And so, Lord, help us to resolve to fear you in this coming year that we can take time to be set apart for you. We love you, Jesus. Pray us in your name. Amen.
Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide. And run not before him. Word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above.
Amen. I want to show you something real quick on our bulletin. On the calendar side, today is our benevolence offering, so that's in the back if you want to give towards benevolence. Tonight we're hosting a Worth County church worship service. What that means is every fifth Sunday, all churches of Worth County have been getting together this past year, and so today we're hosting it. And I thought, what an opportunity for us to host the last worship service of 2023 going into 2024. So if you want to come tonight and join us, it's going to be a worship service. Alex will be leading worship with us this evening. So I encourage you to be here at 6. Board meeting should be January 7th. which is next week, and then our annual church meeting is going to be on the 14th. Any other things that we can bring up that I didn't have on here? All right. Happy New Year. Good to see you.